interrupting the current neo-euchronial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM521. As we continue the saga, the decline of an empire, interestingly. But we had the right to stop it, and we haven't. I'm not quite sure what that means for us. And as I look around the world, I wonder, were we ever capable, as we were genetically predisposed, apparently, to move into STOOPID? Really interesting type of insanity. And the crickets rule. And those that knew that took advantage of the fact that you think it's really quiet and forest, and so you can just rub your legs together, and that's sufficient to protect yourself against them. And you watch what they've done to you, what they do to you, and the things that our perceptions are, how they're managed. And then I ran across this. I may have figured out or be able to attribute now. I think I've discovered the source of a mystery affecting and savaging the perception of the world. And this story starts out here. False memories can form within seconds, study finds. It's not just distant recollections that can fool you. And I've been suggesting that the internet's not set. When you write it up, it can be changed and over time. And I've been saying this thing called the Mandela effect is essentially that. It's our misperceptions of our mismemories and the ability to have things edited right before us. And a lot of this stuff, I know there's lots of contention, but I've been able to see, being honest with myself, I truly can't remember some things. And that kind of was pretty clear when I got a fever and it took most of my memory away, put it in a fog, essentially. And it's been years and years to try and clear some of that fog, not all of it. I lost a lot of memory in an illness that was a fever that should have killed me long before I was able to go to a doctor and had to use the antibiotics to save me, the risk benefit there. And so this was interesting. I've been wondering about this Mandela effect. We always put stuff in perception management. I'm trying to wonder, well, what are they playing on? And well, here's the story. Human memory might be even more unreliable than currently thought. In a new study, scientists found that it's possible for people to form false memories of an event within seconds of it occurring. This almost immediate misremembering seems to be shaped by our expectations of what should happen. Pretty interesting, right? Other studies before misremembering were focused on long-term memory. This study is unique in two ways. First, it explores the memory for events that basically just happened between 0.3 and 3 seconds ago. Intuitively, we would think that these memories are pretty reliable. Lead author Marte Oten, a neuroscientist of the University of Amsterdam, told Gizmodo in an email, quote, as a second unique feature, we explicitly asked people whether they thought their memories were reliable. So how confident are they about their response? And they'll find, you go and read through this, since I don't have time to linger on this too much, but you can read to get the link. You can probably type it in and go there when you hear it, if SoundMinds hasn't provided it. You're going to find out that even our memories, immediate memories, get shaped literally by our own, if you will, prejudice, our own perceptive management observations. And so this was, looking back through my view, I was realizing I could say that I remembered something in the past, but it really wasn't. I've been able to answer what I thought was said to be a Mandela effect, and everybody was saying, well, I don't remember that, and I was thinking just explicitly on that, I did remember that. So there was even a incoherence between even memories. I think this is a pretty interesting thing. Our memories are formed immediately. It's also what I've said before, and it's not what I say. It's proven and why I say it. Witnesses in crimes are not necessarily the bee's knees. They're not necessarily truthful. We hear that all the time about the convictions that are wrong. And that's another compounded problem, another bias in our mind. But it is interesting. False memories are formed in seconds. And I think that maybe we can attribute that. I would say that's probably more the effect of the Mandela effect than anything else I've seen, instead by somebody else. So, as we move in through this system, with our now, as I've been bringing up perception management, the cognitive warfare that's against us almost perpetually. I think it is perpetual. I don't care where we look anymore. And then it's the reflection of this. We have to really put this into the into our calculus, if you will, the computer that we're going to use to figure out what do we do, how do we perceive, what are we perceiving, what are we perceiving? And that gets us to a lot of outlandish ideas that could be plausible if you want to believe it. All kinds of theories that are out there about we can't get into space. It's, we should be working flat. There should be justice. There's an American way. All this stuff is built into and programmed in us. And it takes a lot of work if we can hope to escape. And the things that I started to realize was it takes an objective basis now. You look now at what the objective basis is. Hopefully you can also determine now what has been adulterated. And then you start deciding from a basis that's not your necessarily just your opinion, because our opinions are faulty. And that's not a judgment, it's just a fact. And so we have to give over to that. And if we don't, we succumb. So we look in the world and we see and perceive, and even if we see a wrong, we have to be careful. Again, that's why there's a presumption of innocence. And it takes some evidence to overthrow that. It should, although the system is set up opposite and no one has said anything. I say no one. There's some. But also we got another problem. You can pound your chest about how bad it is, but you're not really doing certain things that would show and bring the evidence of it. And the controllers, the people that are controlling us in the seats of decision, they know all that. And that's why I've adopted procedures, if you will. Not that I'm so intelligent about how to figure out. I just realized that, as I told you, the protocols of the Elders of Zion told us, if you read in a certain way without all the prejudices we a lot of people throw into that, we can be figured out pretty easy. And that those that are out there exploit that, those weaknesses that we have. And my thought was at the time, I was devastated to see that. There were things that people knew about me I didn't even know about myself. I better know about myself a little bit more. Then I better make provision for not succumbing to that either. And so I started to look at this thing a little different in processes of reducing my attack profile so that I'm less vulnerable. Doesn't mean you're not. It just means you have less places to defend. You already got it set up. You got your barriers and your fortifications against this perception management thing to try and keep a level head on yourself. Really start to critically think. Whether or not I do that so well, I don't know. And I'm learning to, maybe I don't know quite so much, but I do have that objective basis that I rely on. What I tell you to start establishing. Don't go off on the authorita, these folks that in places of authority, even they call experts or officials, that say something that may not be true. And it may not be true. They could be telling you the truth, but they have no authority to tell you. And that's the thing I started to notice. There's a thing called jurisdiction. The power and authority to make a determination is important. You don't have it. Nothing you say is valid. So let's start there, I said to myself. And that is easy to go through and look in the statutes and the savings clause and say, well, here's all my rights. Here's what I'm supposed to be protected in. These folks over here have said either taken an oath or taken a license in order to do something, and they must honor that. I think I'm going to stick that out there. I'm going to say they have the opportunity here, the duty, not just the opportunity, the duty. And so the system is set up that we have the ability, but we can't be quiet, as I've been saying over and over. And so now we're coming into a time, interestingly, that all the truths are coming forward, whether or not we can see that. And along with our faulty memories and our faulty perceptions in making memory, by the second, it seems, we then have to look at what's coming forward to tell us that we live in this pseudo-reality that's really somebody exploiting us, taking advantage. And we're seeing some of the evidence. It always takes a while. And I think it's best to actually go this way where it does take evidence to disprove the honesty of somebody. The innocence, I guess, is more important. The innocence of somebody. You really have to overthrow that. But at some point, there's supposed to be this reasonable suspicion. And we don't get that out of the government. And I told you, when you start seeing anomalies that they apply to you but not to them, that maybe we have a problem. So remember now, as we start to see it coming out, and I'm not going to touch it too much. I've already talked more than I was going to on it, but we'll move along. I got, again, more tons of things to talk about. Show us what's going on. Show us how the incongruity of our own, in the United States of America, and likely anything that's the rule of law and democracy brand of injustice and oppression, are we going to experience this pretty similarly as we did the COVID swindle, and didn't say much, if anything, except those of us that got behind the woodshed. And none of you that I know of, that you've contacted me, none of you suffered any of that stuff. Not only did you not do what you were told to do, you found out they have no authority, they didn't even have a basis for the authority. And that sets a lot of you onto a peaceful track again. You could sit back and not be engaged. The problem was that they hit the rest of the world against those of us that were not going to go with it. And so remember now as we move into the new awareness is coming, and this all was shooken up a little bit by even though the faulty elections, they were elections enough to put people in places that have a cause within the government, even though I guess I'm a political atheist. I think they're all criminals in some form or fashion, whether they intend to not be or not. They're not doing what they don't represent necessarily what they ought to. And I guess that's subjective. But anyway, so remember now as we move into this this week and this last week, the IRS and the CIA whistleblowers are explaining your government, your federal government is illegitimate, an organized criminal syndicate able to cover up tall crimes in a single bound. Tall crimes in a single bound. These folks are in there, and but they've got their kryptonite. And don't say, oh, it's the Democrats. Yeah, they're probably the worst of it, but they're aided and abetted. We'll see this right here in the news. It's right here. You got IRS agents saying that there's skullduggery behind in the DOJ relative to the Hunter Biden thing. There's CIA whistleblowers saying that he was asked to bring 50 colleagues together to write a letter to bring the election better for Biden. Now we have you think that's just the Democrats? No, the Republicans help out, and they're going to help out. We see this in the news coming. Republicans will continue to aid and abet the syndicate. Both parties fund. Through where? Through Congress. And we see that in the news. We realize that they can't raise the debt ceiling without continuing the fraud, and it doesn't matter how much budget. Remember, recall the Clint Richardson. You know the budget is a line item in all the things that the accounting does for an organization. Now I'm back to the Model Business Corporation Act, which not many people know about, that all the governments comply best practices for accounting. Clint Richardson has gone through innumerable times to explain how they're doing the cover-up. And the budget is a line item. So this budget that they're raising is only one line item of lots of things that could be looked at. And the way they do the accounting is they make everything look good on paper, and it likely is, except you're living in a debt system. Don't worry. Don't forget about that. No matter how much they put out, it's still a big hole. And they want you to climb out of it. But the Republicans are part and parcel to this. They fund. They allow the funding of all this. McCarthy Republicans introducing a plan to raise U.S. debt limit in 2024, cut spending. And that's their pitch, that they're going to spend less, but they're going to raise this debt ceiling. Money beyond mind, as I can see it. And they're going to continue to allow, they cut some spending, but you're going to notice, and as I noticed in this promotion that they're doing for raising the debt ceiling, which is I think it's a crime. You don't see much about the reduction of the money to the military functions, including Ukraine, which is where the laptop thing comes through. In other words, they're supporting Biden and continuing, and they intend to. So these folks are not out of it. I really don't care what party they are. As I told you, I've got a default judgment against both of them that says that they commit treason. Now, on any particular thing, you'd have to identify, but that's what they do. They defaulted that out. 2013. So I'm beyond this whole thing, but we have to watch how they're doing it and what it intends, because we have to look and see. Again, we don't want to be on the tracks or even near the tracks now when they destroy the toxic train, and then we have to be living with that fallout as well. But we do have some that can slow that train up. As the next story, that not it's something I'm excited about, says McCarthy, and the debt ceiling bill faces steep internal GOP dissent. So we see that they can dissent, and that we see that they can stop it, but the leaders here is going to push it a debt ceiling raise, which is not good for the American economy overall, like sanctions weren't. It was predictable. You heard me say, as soon as the sanctions come out, I said, this is going to be spitting into a hurricane. And look at what has happened. This is not unknown, and who am I? I'm not an economist. It's called just logic. You just look at what's going on. You look at the dynamics of the world. You start paying attention more to the notice that we're given. They call it the news. Even as contorted as it is from MSN and its ability to lie to us, we can look through the propaganda. Again, we don't rely on our memories more than we start finding the facts, actual facts that back stuff up. And then we proceed, I say, proceed in the worst-case scenario. So the Republicans are aiding and abetting this nonsense that we're now hearing is crime, syndicated crime, inside the government, the federal government. And I don't think it's not in the states. I've pointed out it is in the states and how that is. It's at least your judicial branches in every state. And so you'll see there's no military spending limit that I could tell or find within this compromise bill to raise the debt ceiling, to keep the country going in debt and worse and make it look worse in the future, not become any fiscal, if you will, responsibility other than the cooking the books, the best practices that you'll hear a long time ago Clint Richards had exposed in things like Corporation Nation and the CAFR, the CAFR, all that stuff. It's all back there sitting there for us to know about. So no military spending cuts means we're going into the future for war. The military-industrial complex still has a chokehold on these folks. And then we see this little report here. U.S. authorities, Credit Suisse, maintain Nazi-linked accounts as recently as 2020. Credit Suisse, the bank in Europe, appears to, the one that went failed, that was bought up by another one, right? The big shuffle going on, the monopolization of banking, global banking. Credit Suisse appears to have maintained accounts for at least 99 German Nazi officials, some as recently as 2020, the U.S. Senate budget. Remember, line item in the whole of the fiscal accounting, the budget committee said on a release on Tuesday, citing subpoenaed records. Well, remember, there's no apparent reduction in the military spending, and the military spending partly goes to Ukraine, which is a place that's not even really a state when you really look at it. It's supposed to be a buffer, servient place. It has its own government, but it's not really, it's not sovereign, as I've been explaining to you, that the United States is putting money, budgeting. These Republicans are going to raise the ceiling, not limit the military spending, which goes to Ukraine, which is shown to be as Nazi-focused, although they've been diminishing that, trying to hide that, as anything. So, again, the hypocrisy of our own United States government is coming to roost, and I hope the people see that in earnest and figure out, start to learn and figure out what it is we're going to do. But at this point, at that level, I'm not sure I have much of an answer, but all I can say is I look around and people run with their heart on their sleeve instead of looking at the substantive problems. We're in a real war. The government is really out to get us. It's a syndicate. And then you got the military on top of that. It's actually seemingly driving it, as I've been telling you, but it all depends on how much your reading is, or how much you'll listen to me, or I mean listen, not listen, oh, listen to me. I mean listen in order to go right, find that out for yourself. Because until you see the words, it's really, it's a faulty memory you'll produce. And this is interesting. I mean, this really is an interesting thing. We can create these faulty memories in just seconds, mere tenths of a second. It's that first impression thing, too, if you notice, works into that. You bring your prejudices to all this. I do, and I work hard to try not to have them. And that's why I wish I talked with more people to get, as I'm working through this stuff, to say, okay, well, what are the parameters that I don't know about, that I don't need to look at, or things I don't know that I do need to look at. But here, the United States government's going to, where it condemns Credit Suisse for having German Nazi officials, it's supporting Ukraine, which is, one faction is all Nazi stuff, and interestingly, supported by Israel. If you don't understand the nonsense behind this trick, the Zionist versus, I guess, an Orthodox Jew, which I'm not saying is one or the better when I see how they treat now Christians and Palestinians and the Muslims and all that. Why don't you, everyone, just leave everybody alone to their own beliefs? It can't happen in this world of war. Not peace. Peace on earth? That's just another perception management thing, it seems, because the United States government under McCarthy is going to go try to raise the debt limit without, they say budget cutting, but without limiting the military, which pays for the Nazis in Ukraine. You don't believe that? Go redo the research. Don't argue with me. Bring substance to our discussion. And all the time, the United States, as I said, sanctions coming down, something that we'll hear is admitted to be a problem against the United States itself. These folks in the syndicate of the government, organized criminal syndicate that protect each other, on various levels and various modes, could have, if they were looking out for their people in the future of the people, those future generations, not tied to a sustainable future, and the future we want, which is foreign, domestic enemies inside the gates, we would have seen the sanctions would have been bad. But here we see more responses from the other side that was supposed to be hit. And the title here, Western Sanctions Tougher Than Expected, Russian Central Bank. But when you read the story, you find out they were tougher, but that made Russia tougher in its determination to be sovereign. And they were able, in walking up into this, to prepare themselves in order to weather the sanction storm, for the most part, that they've done real well, thank you. And look at the United States. Oh, no, they're going to think about raising a debt ceiling that they actually ought not to. And the United States government should be smaller, and it's not. And these folks don't believe in that. Oh, we're going to limit some of the policy stuff we're paying for. But that's just the budget. That's not the function. So there's many, many conditions and categories of problems in this. But the Republican Party is furthering the Democratic construction and syndicate within which the government is conditioned and runs. And yet we now hear the whistleblowers, a few people stepping up to explain, yeah, we're cooking the books. We're undermining our own prosecution against Hunter. Oh, yeah, we sent a letter out to bolster Biden as the CIA, the intelligence community, so-called. Folks, when I saw that letter, I was shocked. I would have never thought that a so-called intelligence community would actually sign a letter like that. That's too overt. That told me right away there was a problem. I don't need to really hear the guy, but yeah, okay, it's good we hear now somebody coming with an evidence that states under oath that we have done this. And other evidence proves that would be a good, plausible thing to go if in the court of public opinion. I better go down that track because that's the worst case scenario. We're done. We're overdone. It's time to figure out what accountability has to happen and really, really quickly because they don't mean us well. As anybody who looks into this can see, and we need to figure out how that's going to happen. It's a very serious discussion. So balanced financial policy and crisis management experience have helped Moscow withstand unprecedented pressure, Elvira Nabiulina has said. And that's their banking minister there in the Bank of Russia. They are toned up by this attack. They were, as I said, they were given, that's why some of these, like Russia goes into Syria, not just to protect and balance out their power, geopolitical power struggle with the United States or the West. They go in there to test their equipment and perfect it. And so this is what the bank happened to Russia, and they're doing fine. In fact, they're doing so fine, and I told you, as a sovereign, look at what if you want to be a sovereign, notwithstanding all the potential problems and the hiccups about that in the United States of a sovereign people, so-called, there's evidence that the people are sovereign. But it's not one that you just claim. It's one in how you respond that you're sovereign. I said, watch Russia. We're going to get some new lessons. Well, they just created the parallel system I told you to do. They did it before. We heard it before. Mexico now opens to talks with the MIR, the mirror cards with Russia, with Russian foreign ministry. So Russia created a parallel accounting system cross-border called the mirror card, their mirror card. It still becomes this electronic future, right? So don't underestimate this problem. I'm not showing you that, oh, I'm going to brace it. I'm saying this is what a sovereign does to avoid going into a new future, actually direct everything into a new future, avoid an old consequence, and bring on what they need to work. And part of that is reaching out and mutually working with other nations, which would be if you consider yourself a nation. That's what the nations are doing with other nations. They're like dealing with people, the presidents, the representatives. Mexico is open to talks with Russia on a rollout of the mirror payment system cards in the country. Ambassador to Russia, Eduardo Velez Mayas, told TASS. The rollout of the mirror cards is not officially on the agenda. Nevertheless, Mexico is always open to talk. So there are, when they talk like this and they make it open, this is a big deal. The Russians are expanding a parallel system of electronic payment through a whole different thing other than even the BRICS. Okay, so this is what you start having. This is how the kind of work you start finding out a sovereign needs to do to keep sovereign. And when you weren't doing all these things, you understand what kind of servitude you should be perceiving that you're not. And this is the how faulty our memories are in seconds. This tenths of a second, it seems, by that study. Pretty fascinating. There are we are our own enemy, apparently. Our memories, our perceptions in our memories. I've met the enemy, folks, and it is us. It is our perception, and that's what they manage. This is the thing that's fascinating in the last few months of what I've been talking about relative to the cognitive warfare. And really, it's Sung Tzu was talking, you got to get the mind of your opponent, and if you get mind to capitulate to your way, you don't have to fight him. And Russia and China have been doing that. They're taking that diplomatic role in the world. Don't underestimate that. So Mexico opened a talk to a parallel system outside of the dollar. They call it the de-dollarization. There's a balancing act going on. And before we get too wild, understand the United States dollar is absolutely prevalent in the globe right now, in the world. Absolutely. What we're talking about on these others is down in 5-3% of the motion. The problem is the other nations are coming together to fortify that, and now they're getting their car on the road here and getting it rolling. So it's not like it's a done deal, but I told you before, the attitude is in these nations to stop the servitude, the oppression that comes with dealing with the West. So, and we get the admission about these sanctions now. Sanctions threatens dollar dominance as target countries seek out alternatives, coming from the U.S. Treasury Secretary. And wow, do I need to be the U.S. Secretary Treasury expert to say that? No, you heard that behind the woodshed. Anybody looking at this coming in, I don't mean just when they made sanctions. The reason why I could say what I did when the sanctions hit was looking at the 10 years or 15 years before, what these nations were doing to prepare to be able to disconnect themselves. Why? Because they don't want to be suffering what the United States puts on. It ends up being the austerity. We have that in all of the news. Countries are tired of this, these attachments that end up being the future they want, the austerity of every country, the plunder of their resources. Watch very carefully how we're watching so-called socialist countries, however, the democracies, they're now socializing their resources because that's actually their money. That's going to be their wealth. And so they're realizing they have to retake control of all that. The United States Treasury Secretary has warned the economic sanctions imposed on other countries like Russia and Iran threaten the dominance of the dollar in the global economic market. Well, Mrs. Yellen, you're yelling too late. Way too late. Get behind the woodshed. You had to learn this a long time before. And there she's admitting that these sanctions are spitting into a hurricane. It may not have looked like a hurricane, but it was a foreboding wind, and then it organized because the United States become authoritarian in ways that they no longer can tolerate. So she says, she talks about the risks, and she mentions what they are, and there's no, I don't know why that was a question. There's a risk, she says, when we use financial sanctions that are linked to the role of the dollar. The role of the dollar. This is adding politics to the dollar, which should have never happened. And if you read these tabs that are going through, you'll see they're talking about that. They should have never politicized the dollar, which could undermine the hegemony of the dollar. And so she admits it's a hegemony. It's a controlling force in the world, and the nations are no longer with it, and the sanctions are causing the demise, the switch, the alternative, as I told you they would. They're going to seek an alternative, just like you need to seek an alternative, even not just the Fed now, which is the interim, but the Fed coin or the unicorn coin, that the IMF is going to be bringing down to control all these nations. You need to find an interesting way to adopt a local money system. And I have to reaffirm, the more I look at the Constitution or look at it, the right of the, because we're going to have a story here coming up about gold, the right of the state to make coin, gold and silver coin money, is imperative. And I think that, as I thought about it here on a story coming up, had the states done that early on at the time of the Depression, had the states adopted gold and silver coin as money, like the specie, as they should have, we may not have seen this problem. And you'll see why as we maybe move into these tabs. But U.S. warns Russia and China over dollar alternative. So the United States causes its own trouble. I said the self-inflicted wound. And then it warns those that are running away. And so this is just a bully. And this is somebody who means harm in the world. And all the governments are seeing that. The greenback will remain the world's currency, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen predicted. That's only if they don't get everybody to run away and they can't bully everybody. And we're now dealing in peer-level countries with Russia and China, who really aren't putting up with it. They're actually turning. We were told in the news they were turning their tactics. China got rid of the wolf and turned this other guy, and they started to make better deals with people that they had been before. They started to become friends in the world. They started to take away some of the debt like to Africa and Russia did, and they became more friendly. Yes, they all have their underlying political reasons, but they're going to win that day. And it won't matter at some point about the dollar either. But that's what the United States causes the problem, and they focus on the two major powers to threaten them. Why? Why you warn them? They don't care. It's an existential threat who you are against, at least Russia for sure. Russia and China will face substantial difficulty in their efforts to create an alternative to the U.S. dollar in an international trade, American Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen acclaimed on Thursday. Russia is conducting a rapid withdrawal from transactions in unfriendly currencies against the backdrop of expanding EU and U.S. sanctions. As part of the move, Moscow has shifted away from the dollar towards the ruble and local currencies in settlements with major trade partners such as China and India. I certainly want to see the dollar remain as the world currency, and there is a motivation that China and Russia and China have to try to develop another system that avoids the use of the dollar. Well, go back, and she says that they're going to have substantial difficulty. Okay, that doesn't mean impossibility. And it doesn't mean that they have a place in the world that is dominance. They don't need dominance. So the framing is all wrong. And I don't know that she really believes it's going to be in the power position in a way when they have an alternative they're building. Because I don't, as I've said before, I think BRICS was a setup before we got here. And the basket of currency, the SDRs, that's all international payment systems. They still get controlled and they still get all funneled back through this payment system in the BIS, which is all underneath it now moving to that digital a condition of servitude for everybody. The relationship changed to due parties relative to your so-called money. Why the states need to go to a specie money? I think we can avoid this. And I think, well, let me get to the point about moving on relative to, you see, get back to the point here, I'll move forward later. You see that there's parallel systems being invented. And there will be a substantial difficulty. Take that as a notice to you. To move your new parallel system in, it will be substantially difficult. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It all depends on you, those of you that will. And I guess quickly, the Ithaca hour that started out, the Ithaca hour, turned into the Ithaca dollar, was a local currency. You know, paper. You paid FRNs to get it. But it ends up being a local currency within a system. And I would look at that. Not that you need to do paper. At Jefferson Mining District, we wanted to do a coin that was not a taxable coin, was not controllable, because it sat before the refinement in the material that it used, but it was still provable in its assay to make a coin. And then I was thinking about moving it as a value system that I think it was not housed, created this ability to adjust value, which I thought was brilliant. And I haven't really talked to the gentleman at all about doing that. And we have, because of certain things, we've not been able to focus on that. But the point was that this is a long-term idea. We have to create alternatives to what's going on. And you're seeing that when you do that to the bully who's trying to oppress you, he comes back and warns you. He warns you, you better not. And then the existential threat kicks in on this, certainly for Russia's side. We're not listening to you. And there it is. That's the break. That's the ultimate break that makes it only substantially difficult and not impossible. It's your will to continue. A Federal Reserve head is questioned on controversial debanking of disfavored individuals. They question us on the debanking, but what is a sanction? Sanction is the global debanking of nations. And so while they're questioned about moving people out, they know they can't get people debanked because they need you in. Sanctions is essentially debanking nations. Again, if you think through this, you start to see what the real purpose behind getting you involved and keeping your confidence and keeping your trust and keeping you working. Your trust is in the thing you use, your deed, as well. Don't underestimate that. I'm just reading from a high title, and I can move this thing through as I usually do. Let me read a little bit to set this up. During a recent House Committee hearing, Chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, was grilled on Operation Choke Point 2.0, an alleged Biden administration effort that Representative Warren Davidson, Republican of Ohio, described as being, quote, particularly focused on debanking people that are disfavored by the current executive branch. So when they go and you get into your FedCoin and they cut off your access because it's all electronic, aren't they debanking you? And what is that? That's a form of, that's a censorship. That's interfering with your life. What they're doing to Russia, they'll do to you. They've already got it in the works how to do it. When you get into a system where they can take immediately just by a flip of a switch, they've debanked you. And they do it as a retaliation. That's why, inversely, they need you in the system so they can do that to you. Why you shouldn't be in it. So this fact that there's people in the world, and why I chuckle a bit when I see places like India, they say, well, we can't get to everybody. It makes me laugh because that's the weak point for that system. They have to have both everybody involved, and the little remnants that are left over, they just starve those folks out. Easy to do, unless you've got an internally, locally set up system. So this sanction is understood. This sanction is actually a question, but it's not a question where they say it's weaponized. That's the reason why they want you in, so they could weaponize it. And so, when I read these articles, there's a lot to say in all this that I may not be able to get to, but when you start looking at the dynamic, the way it works, you start to see where they want to position you, and I suggest that offers you the ability to not be there. Although, it'll be substantially difficult to do an alternative, and that's another way to do that. They entice you in, induce you to accept, and that's the trap. It's like a drug dealer. Here's a little bit of drug. Whoever anymore, it doesn't matter how young you are, try this. And it could be on any vice in your life. I mean, money, it could be anything that someone induces, entices you to start engaging a system, and then you get hooked. And so the best thing to do is just avoid. It makes it easier that way. But then you have to have an alternative. So debanking would be domestic sanctions, as we see the United States do to Russia, and they're doing to now China, and they do it in different areas, subject matter areas. They're working in the process to do it to you. When they have the ability to control your funds, that they exist at all, like this new digital system is going to, the CBDC thing will do, they have the ability to put a sanction on you, and they debank you. And yet, that's the other side of that coin, is you shouldn't be able to be debanked, because that's what they want. They want you to be bankable, right? Their bank. Not your bank, like I've been telling you in the mining claim. There's gold in the bank. But it's literal. And it has maintained value. And some would say it's not a good investment. It's not, because it stays neutral. So as an investment, it's no good. But as a store of wealth and continuing an agreeable medium of exchange for people, it seems to hold pretty well. And whatever our beliefs, our systems, our thoughts about how all this is, if we don't have a substantial way to move ourselves along in transferring wealth through services and production and what we want, what we need against someone who doesn't need it but will take something, a surrogate, we better find something better than this system, the surrogate system, and we better get back to the ground, the law. The law is the possession of the property, which is the gold in the bank. And I remind you that I'm still looking for a buyer to my claim. Get on the Blogcaster. And you may find the link to some basic information on Craigslist as well for a unique 100-acre associated mining claim. If you know anybody, I don't know who that will be, anybody who's interested, this is a working claim, so it's not just a prospect, and it's validated by the government itself. This is the point I'm talking about. Where I was going, my focus was moving through this mining claim and learning about mining to be able to move into this law, this other side of law that's in protection and as an obligation of the government, not move into their systems that they hand you that you accept. Yes, there's a big distinction and a chasm. It's somewhat difficult. It's not impossible, though. My shock is that not more people will dedicate that time to learn and then apply. And it is going to take a lot. And I may be an example of I didn't quite make it long far enough. I may have failed. I certainly have failed to the fact that I have to now sell a mining claim. But for somebody, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the land and the wealth. The gold is in the bank. It's not the bank that the government owns or the corporations own. It's Mother Nature's bank. And we have to get our mindset on how that's going to work locally, like natural law. I mean, there's just certain things that you can see. So they want to debank. They want you. They can't debank you because they want to be able to debank you. So you just got to stay out of the bank and go to the alternative bank where the value is. And that could be the ground, and that's where you get back into production, why they're attacking it everywhere. And in my mind, and we don't know the reasoning, and I don't know that it wasn't an accident and stupidity behind the East Palestine toxic train dump, they just polluted the whole lands over there. So there's your production. That's just a small spot in the country, but still. There's a lot of those spots that start to happen. And it becomes hard not to see it. We got saboteurs out there. I don't know. Isn't it easier just to fix the rails than to go through all the nonsense of the lost damages that are done when a toxic train happens? Seems logical you would do it better the other way, but there's no mind to do it. We got into this again. There's profiteers and investment and privateers and all this other stuff that starts to work into the way this republic was made. The obligation now on the people to begin to stop it if they could. Finding out you don't have representatives, actually. Well, there's a small voice out there that's going to restrict, or going to be coming against the McCarthy's plan, but ultimately it's too small to do much. It's just a compromise thing. They're still intending, the Republican Party's leader is intending to raise the debt limit, not solve the problem. And underneath that, continue the war in Ukraine. This is serious stuff here. No word really against continuing to support so-called the Nazis. You really got to think about that. That conundrum to me is, I don't even know why we have another discussion that's wrong what they're doing. Although we see the organized syndicate inside the government that perpetuates itself. And we have here, Western governments are on the verge of introducing expiring money. And this is the whole point. Expiring money. This is programmable currency. All right? So this is how the expiring money has to do with that reverse interest rate as well. They require that you spend your money. Like a horse and a whip. A carrot and a stick. The key central bank is considering implementing negative interest rates. All right? So this is just telling us what's up front. What are they trying to do? What's the control? How they want to control is really, really the problem. And you're not in control is the real effect. And I'm not sure why people are okay with that. You sit and you complain, but as people that are critically thinking, but you take no action around that, you're allowing that system to get its authority over you. As they explain in this report down a ways, and negative interest rates are just one of the ways the World Bank and central banks around the world hope to control people to spend their programmable money. So we see the World Bank is involved still. I keep telling you, these are all connected. They're not going, yeah, it's all connected. Has been. Right? As I've been talking and talking and talking and showing you how I can say in 2010, the modernization acts are going to hit you in about 10 years. And they're going to nail you good, and we see it all worked out that way. It's all connected, but it's all connected to an outcome. Literally, the word outcome is relevant here in the sustainable future they want. So we have the fact of the programmability, something they can debank you. They want that control. They can even steal your money under negative interest rates. To get you to spend more, to get you to put more money in motion. That's what it's all about. What are you putting in motion? And so getting back over to the substance here, we have a report that came up interestingly now, especially in light of the debt ceiling discussion. Why did Roosevelt kill the gold standard? And they tell us on that he did it, and they tell us what happened. And they tell us about the devaluing of the gold from the $20 an ounce that you would take your bill in to get an ounce of gold. Now think about that. Your bill then got an ounce of gold. Your dollar bill got an ounce of gold. What's it worth today? Just over $2,000. As I tell you, it's bouncing at $2,000. They don't like it above $2,000 too much, I guess. $2,000 then for the same ounce. Shows you how much into servitude, monetary slavery, fiscal slavery you are, and how little your money is worth today. And they ended that, and then they devalued that gold. And they go through a discussion I wanted to bring up so people can read in a relatively short way the background about what happened here, how this works through, how they adjusted the Gold Reserve Act of 19, passed the Gold Act of 1934. So you see they're doing acts to perpetuate this thing. They have to respond to the one before. And they show that this was a global feature happening back then, that the countries were removing de-goldizing their currencies. And that has a consequence. That's finally ended here, not just in the Depression, which it says to have ended, but actually the devaluation of gold and the removal from people possessing gold didn't really stop the Depression. It was really the war. Oh, look at today. And so what I also want to point out is at the time, they could take, and why the money in the bank, the gold mine, is really important here, purportedly could take, and this is the other thing about the executive orders, they purportedly could take gold from Americans and they readily handed it over, but they could not force a miner. because that was reflective directly of his labor. And I would also suggest it's directly related to the grant, the congressional grant that was the right to do that. And they can't interfere with that. And we saw some reflection of that honor back then, notwithstanding what they did to the rest of society. So I'm showing you in that example, you can be a small band of folks that can withstand these atrocities put on nations. You also are the evidence of how you would fight, argue, if you will, if it's an argument against the ability. And now that's where I started to think, because of that, there was a small band of people that had right. The states were to protect that, literally protect it, because of the Admission Acts, the enabling acts of your state that made the document that allowed your state to come into being under the congressional authorization for it. Again, Congress agreeing. It wasn't separate on the sovereignty of the people. However, inside the federal constitution is the right of a state to coin of gold and silver coin and mint the gold and silver coin. So there is what every state should have done right then. When the feds did what they did, it's no different than the reservation to the health act in the states. The states needed to stand up and protect themselves and their people, and they didn't. And we have that same problem essentially happening. So you can read the story here on what happened, the dynamic behind why can you return to gold, what it's going to do. Read to get yourself some knowledge on how that would work. The thing is, it was a theft by the federal government against the people. And I think certainly it could have been shown, as I think many things can be shown once you get to the root of the authority, that they can't do it. Like in this case, the reservation of health authority to the states relative to then the duties of an official locally to have to do things that none of them did. The people didn't rise up and say, no, that's going to kill. What you're asking us to do is hurting us. Death and destruction, we're not going to allow that. And then you start functioning as a criminal, essentially, against this oppressor, this organized syndicate that Biden is a wielding to a high level of efficiency, it seems to me. And to this theft that happened in Roosevelt's time, I think it's commemorated on the same day. I think it was exactly the same day to commemorate that, the gold theft of American gold against Americans. A gold heist in Canada's biggest airport is probed by their police. Cargo container with $20 million in gold valuables was taken. Ontario Gold often transits through Pearson International. I'd read that, I go, whoa, do you think that if you know that the gold coming from the countryside into this airport all the time, I guess it's smelted and stuff, and then moved out to all over the world, do you think that maybe that would be a security risk? I think pretty clearly you'd think it would. Well, as I look here now, that number changed. It used to be $100 million. There was 3,600 pounds of gold was stolen, theft. As I say, I think it was commemorating the theft of American gold to the Americans back in the 30s. Here we have an anniversary theft that goes on. A lot of gold was stolen from a transit hub in Canada. I guess when I say get gold in the bank, this is not quite what I'm talking about, but someone apparently got away with it. I don't know why there isn't a camera one that hasn't shown everybody, but the mounted police are all over this, because it's now only saying $20 million. I think that maybe we can attribute that. I would say that's probably more the Mandela effect than anything else I've seen. Somebody, I guess, got some more better information in the story than I had seen before. But anyway, the Canadian gold theft in commemoration of the United States gold theft of the people's gold. And remember, there was a small band of gold miners that their gold could not be taken from them. Which you need to understand that, you need to understand the lawful authority around that. And we've missed, I mean, since then, I don't even think it's not even in the system. Why we really do have problems, but partly why I helped to start and study to start Jefferson Mining District, so we could help to bring the miner back, at least the grantee back to memory. But again, a microcosm of the miner is the macrocosm of America. Most of those walked away. That should have been a clue to me, but see, I'm a little bit dense, I guess. I really did believe people were expecting to know about their rights, but there's a responsibility, and most people don't want to exercise that. It really is easier to just accept the unicorn coin. It's accept the phone, accept the lifestyle that you're gave. All right, so with this knowledge, as we go through the syndicate called the United States, it's really not a government. It's just this, more of the corporations that were established before the government that come together to actually start to run the place, because they gave themselves a license, said if you don't stop them, they continue. And we can be a bully all we want. And so as a bully all we want, the United States, and this is paid for by the Republicans, gets because of the infrastructure there, the budget pays for all these people. You can't do a thing without being Congress paying for it, so don't forget about that little thing. Anything you do that's not paid for is not valid. And so this is why the minor also has a problem with they wrongly withheld the appropriation of money to take a patent application in 1993, I think it was, and that interfered with the grant to Congress. Congress interfered with that by saying, oh no, the BLM cannot take that application. We will not authorize any money for an agent to take that. Shows you how finite their actions and authorities are. That they are funding it, and if they are funding it, then it can be done, so-called, can be done. And if they're not, then it has without no authority. So I look at these things, I say, well, how is the United States Congress, the Republicans in this case, wanting to raise the debt ceiling, agreeing to fund the bullying that the United States does? That's not in the Constitution. But here we see the bullying goes on as the United States would warn Russia and China not to pick the alternative because it'll affect them in their dominance, their domineering over the world. The United States claims it does not believe that Syria deserves readmission to the Arab League at this time, says the State Department. The United States does not believe that Syria deserves readmittance to the League of Arab States at this time. We do not believe so. They say over and over, the U.S. will not normalize relations with Assad government absent, quote, authentic progress, close quote, towards a solution to the conflict in the country. Well, you know, I went, what, it says Arab League. Did I miss something? Was the United States part of the Arab League? I'll give you a quick little link over to Wikipedia. We'll go through the list. The United States is not even a partner in this, not a member, not a counselor, not anything. The United States has an opinion on something that they have no interest in, just like Ukraine, that they're standing there to put a dominance over this league, another association of, in this case, nations, to impose upon them the will of the United States without the authority, without the right to even look at that. And it seems like everybody's fine in the government of the United States that we do that as a nation to others. The United States does not believe in Syria deserves readmission. It's not up to them. Now, Syria, within that, you look and you find that Syria was kicked out, but because it was this pressure that was going on by the United States, this bullying, that has been removed now, and you watch now how the Arab League is coalescing back again. They're looking to readmit Syria. So that's why the United States is saying it does not believe it deserves readmission. Syria is not the United States. The United States is not part of the Arab League. It has no standing to have a say. And where all the people in Congress, Senate and the state, and the Congress and the House, heard this and didn't tell the State Department, we didn't appropriate money for you to go antagonize those folks. Leave them be. You're seeing complicity with the crime. It's an international crime you're watching right here. We have no interest in Syria other than a geopolitical dominance position. Remember, we're not invited to Syria to say either. But don't underestimate this problem. I think it was Saudi Arabia has taken the lead in an effort to reintegrate Syria. So here you have the Arab League, the Saudi Arabia country stepping up on the help of China now, remember, in working them back together to Syria. Saudi Arabia is reintegrating Syria into the Arab League is their main problem. The United States, it is happening. They are no longer feeling dominated, and if there is a domination, it's not considered to be a threat enough to take away their sovereignty to make their own decisions. That the United States even has an opinion is a crime. And yet, this is the bully of the United States, and the countries are done with it. The Saudis are picking it up. They were questioned in this, but they're not afraid about that petrodollar. Why? Because they're de-dollarizing in other ways, and they're a producer of a raw resource, natural resource. Mideast restores regional relations because it can't depend on U.S. anymore, is the observation here. Saudi Arabia has taken the lead in an effort to reintegrate Syria into the Arab League because they can't rely on the United States. the Arab League now becomes a mass coalition, if you will, of nations looking after their own. And those folks will get together and they will be exchanging. They may be making up their own Ithaca Hour. Maybe they'll make their own type of medium exchange. Maybe they'll just make deals across border with their own domestic currency. And then it becomes a management of how much trade exports and imports to do to keep balance in those dollar in their respective currency systems. Maybe not as efficient, easy to use, but with the dollar, but they don't have the oppression attached to the dollar that they when they do it themselves. Something that I'm trying to convey to people today, you take on this fiat system, you keep using it, you go into the digital, you allow it, you're allowing the oppression that comes with it. It's clearly written in history how this works. I don't know why the people of the United States don't really protect themselves and act like the sovereigns. Some of us claim that we are. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's required. This is all this dominance is, comes in and says and decides that it wants to tell you what to do. When we get the evidence over time, again, as the whistleblowers come forward, we get official whistleblowers that are not whistleblowers, just telling you certain things, slip of the tongue, if you will, just statements. They think the time has passed. Blair knew Iraq bombing was illegal, but ordered it anyway. So this bullying comes with attacking the Arab League when nations, in this case the UK, knew that what the United States planned on doing was illegal and agreed anyway. Is setting a history in the mind of the people which don't have the false memory now. They're starting to actually clear the memory, making the correct look at what history was to then make the decisions and feel slighted at least, that they're not putting up with it anymore. Britain's former PM struck Iraq in 1998 to please Bill Clinton, according to the files published by an investigative website. And so we could read that story. The point is that the ideas come out. We knew before. The faulty evidence, again, faulty evidence, the prepared evidence by the CIA or whomever to give to the journalists, to propagandize to the people, to keep them hidden. You understand, when we find out about the election problem and the Hunter laptop and the DOG failure about that, and the help inside the system to protect that corruption, you're looking at a failed country. No matter when that evidence starts to come out. And so I don't know how much longer we stand against this when we saw the vial of anthrax. Remember, that's where it starts again for our medical stuff today that Colin Powell's putting up. That was all a scam and a fraud. It was all a setup that the country's nation's leaders know what they're doing is criminal, yet they will still capitulate. That connection is gone in the Eurasian population, I guess I should say population, the leadership, those making decisions now. And it doesn't end there. It goes and jumps over into South America. And Americans need to pay attention to this. It's not, see, to me, it's not about our dominance and the dollar dominance. It's about, we have our own honor and respect and being a nation, if you will, at peace, just like we say. And the other nations are seeing that we're not. And we haven't held the government to control, and everyone looks at our Constitution and says, but it was up to them to do, so they must agree. Now, people on the street won't vilify an American. You're just a helpless dupe, just like everybody else, like they might be in another condition. And that's a sad thing in my mind. That's an embarrassment as well. But we don't seem to have an ethic in us anymore that responds to it or properly as so. We will, anyway, it doesn't matter. We just don't do what we're supposed to be. There's declassified information about this. You can read about it, and you can see how whistleblowers or not, people in government will explain this over time. The problem is that's our problem. It's the delay. Look how long it's been. You could see it then. You could articulate. It's what Russia is saying now. These are all violating international law, but there is no real law. The United States has no basis. They now adjust it. You know, it's not even the same. There's no international law. It's just rules-based order, and they don't define that. As long as the United States is dominating, that's all that matters. So we're back, or again, the truth coming out today. Here we had Blair from then, allowing, because of some puppy dog love or something, the leashed poodle response, to allow a crime to go on, no word said otherwise. the United States paid for that, that the taxpayer, so-called, agreed. Those of us that are even not involved in the politics, because we see it's just nonsense, and then for someone like myself, we see the built-in fraud in that system anyway, and don't want to participate with that. We're all agreed to agree, and this is the problem about silence in the face of someone doing a deed in your purported representation. It is important to argue, at least argue that it's not proper. Get the word out. Tell other people. I don't know what else to do. I've been trying to do that behind a woodshed for years now. It just doesn't emanate out. In fact, I was troubled. I guess I should say a little bit. I was troubled this week looking at what's coming again in the bio side, the biological stuff. It's in the pipeline. It's not something I haven't talked about, but watching how it's being developed, and no one's really seeing it. No one's talking to about it. Really troubled me about us as a people. I don't know how us as a people really survive this. I see more of information coming inside the Twitter sphere. You know, I expect giving people the innocence thing, you know, presumption of innocence. They're doing the right thing. They're talking the right reasons. Maybe I can add more reason, more good reason, more good counsel. They're not listening. Well, they're not listening, apparently, when you find out some more information. Again, more information. They're not listening because they have an agenda. They have their own private thing that they're pushing through that's really a privateering on their own for profit. And these coagulations that start to develop. I just responded to John Rappaport promoting Robert Kennedy Jr., saying, oh, just give me a sword, the territory, the sword, and all, you know, and your help, and I'll free America. No, he couldn't do it with Comey swindle. And I've had a couple of Twitters of, why aren't everybody coalescing around Robert Kennedy Jr. speaking of an apparent truth and outing the effects, but no one responding to, why aren't you going after the cause? He's a lawyer. Why didn't he go after the law to protect everybody? He was already given the territory, the sword, and the support, and he failed to protect America. I'm not denouncing him. I'm just saying that's the fact. As far as a country and a candidate, he's no different than all the rest. Why are people that we can look in and seemingly are honest and seemingly helping people, seemingly giving good information, a truth, not the fundamental truth, they're all coagulating around this. This essentially, it's a fraud. Just like Trump, just like Biden, just like the organized criminal syndicate in power now that Trump was a part of as well. Remember, Warp Speed was his initiation. And we see over time the evidence coming out. Ex-top spy admits Hunter laptop letter designed to influence 2020 election. And so we have all this information coming out. I don't know if this helps Trump at all at this point. I don't care a lot about Trump. It's whether or not we can bring some integrity back to systems that have been completely confounded and corrupted. And I think even if you got this fixed, I still will not agree that the federal election process is, because of the agreement you signed for registration, is actually plausible for a free people, notwithstanding all that. So they focus us on this. If they fix this, this still doesn't fix the election problem, you see. And this is how everybody moves the point over and you start focusing on that. My main problem with many people who talk about all the harms, the destruction and death around the jab. That's not the point. The point is the government didn't protect you against it, and there was every duty in the law, simple law, to do so. And no one insisted. So you don't talk about that. You go into the future. It happens again. No one knows to go stop it. They go waiting for the damage and destruction that's predictable. But here we have, and more evidence is the stories I was telling. Started out with the fact ex-top spy admits Hunter Biden laptop letter designed to influence 2020 direction. This is the colleagues he got together, 51 signed. He asked for 50. He got 51. Inside the Intelligence Committee, when I read that letter, I'm saying, wow, why is the Intelligence Committee even outing itself? Was this like the Mossad? You know, even the Mossad knew not to put its high officials involved in a political thing in Israel. The United States is not that intelligent, like their intelligence community, to not do that. Scary. On top of it all. So we have evidence now coming in the past, from the past, coming up by people, and I have to thank those that would come forward, finally. And now they're handing that to the people. What are they going to do? Hand it to your representative that's also what, going to allow the debt ceiling to rise, another fraud to invoke the Ukraine Nazis, another fraud, another crime that they try to stop in somebody else to out, to make more control, more dominance? No, these are, we've really got to slow this thing down and start focusing on really substantial things to stop here, not keep letting someone else not stop it. As I've been saying, these truths coming out, and these, whether they're a whistleblower or an old PM saying he was, as he was said in the news, being a lapdog poodle to Clinton, this Blair dude, no, the Iranians are coming, the Iranians, I should say. Excuse me if I get that wrong, I don't know. Iranians. No unipolar world anymore. So with these evidences, you're seeing nations step up to make the declaration. No unipolar world anymore. Iranian FM, or Federal Minister Spox, says U.S. no longer superpower. And what an embarrassment. It's broken, folks. It's broke in the mind. When an authoritar is broken in your mind, you have no confidence, trust, expectation, and their deeds tell you that they're a criminal, a thug, and it breaks finally in you. There's no other thing you can do than to resist. And you're not going to go back. Once you see this, these truths like this, you don't go back. And this is part of the problem with some of us who go and see this stuff. There's not a lot of people that will follow and get the basics to understand what we do. And then we get ostracized by our own families to show you how insidious this problem of trying to come back and defend ourselves as a people. We're not a people. Our memories are changed in tenths of a second by perception management. Speaking to reporters on Monday, Nasir Kanani, a spokesperson for the Iranian Foreign Ministry, said that the time has ended in which the United States was the global hegemon, calling the shots the world over. But just letting you know, I told you this was going to come, is happening. Here's the notice that it is. It's not a question. What do we take from that? Oh, it's over there. No, it's happening in your country. You don't have that attitude in your country, and the other nations already see it. It's like the other guy seeing your problem. We are behind it. We're getting all the evidence like they see, and they're responding, and the people of the United States are not. Maybe not possible. And so and it's gone, folks. This trust in the United States, this authority that was precious authority, was not protected because the United States allowed the politicization of the medium of exchange of the world. The serious, serious disconnect. You want to talk about decoupling? This was the decoupling we should have never allowed happen as a nation, the United States, in the position of privilege. You want to talk about white privilege? No, this is the white knight privilege. They lost it. And their secretary, Yellen, is yelling, no, these sanctions have the possibility of moving everybody out. And so the United States comes right in and says, well, we're going to threaten everybody who tries to move out. And they're saying, tough. Make us. And then they become a big gang themselves, essentially. And we continue to hear how this is moving on. Africa turning to China for loans as IMF austerity demands ruin nations. We're told, as I've been telling you, what goes on regarding the politicization of this global financing is to impose the A2030 function of sustainable shared debt and the plunder of a nation's resources in payment. And you can never get out. And this is the interesting problem. That shows you it's a theft because the production of raw materials is the cash, if you will, is the value. It's not like a fiat currency. You can't pay back the interest. And so when it continues and perpetuates, you know this is a managed plunder. The IMF demands that the countries raise taxes and cut public spending in return for development loans have impoverished much of Africa. And I'm going to tell you again, look over there, they're doing it to you if you haven't noticed it. It's the same thing. It's just your perception was altered enough that 3/10 of a second after you saw something, you agreed. Even if you complained because you didn't stop it, that's the problem. You allowed them to continue. They're impoverishing you. As I just said, it used to be a dollar, used to be an ounce of gold. Today, that dollar, gold dollar, back in the 30s, would be worth about 2,000 fiat. Where's your life value been? Inexorably stolen and plundered over time by many mechanisms. But the commodity offering that a value over time we can see in the gold, a property. Linwood Tahid, associate professor of economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, said that China is lending money for development projects with none of the strings attached. And they specifically point out certain things, and ultimately they've identified the United States through the IMF imposes austerity, but it's worse. It's a theft of the function of the society, of the abilities of giving services to the people, and through the theft of natural resources. The new report by British charity Oxfam found that 13 out of 15 IMF loans made during the second year of the COVID-19 pandemic required the countries receiving them to introduce austerity measures, including raising taxes on food and fuel or cutting public spending, including on health care. What did you just hear? The compromise in the United States, they're not going to lower the debt ceiling. No, they're going to cause debt expenditure cutting, which you should, but you don't understand what that really does, except that it does this. It throws you into austerity. You don't get these things. Just as I told you, these modernization acts were going to empower back in 2010. The reason the IMF wants to get poor nations into a debt trap, the academic said, was to ensure that, quote, the Western countries have control over not only the finances of those countries, but also the resources that those countries need to sell to the West in order to get dollars in order to pay those off those loans. That's just Agenda 2030 attached to these IMF loans. That's global. I don't know what more to say. That's just a plunder. And these countries are saying, enough, enough. I hear Chile's going to socialize, if you public, make public government own their lithium reserves now. But that's got to go where they go now, because they need to have the substantial ability in raw materials to start trading with other nations that will. And China sits right there for lithium until we get better technology, and it's not looking too good for the future at this point beyond that. And then you watch the plunder in the United States, where we're in austerity, tax cuts, whatever. You don't want to pay for us to get a patent to get the land to be able to sit there and actually produce without the overpressing, the oppression of a government agency. You say that you're going to invest in lithium reserves, and I know a miner, a mining engineer, very old, who owns probably appears to own one of the largest rare earth mineral deposits, and the government doesn't want to talk to him. No, they'd rather talk to some Canadian Texas corporation to deal with Kanukistan. Does that sound like the Uranium One problem? Sure does. It's so. We have the syndicate working in this. So this Linwood said that in a nutshell phrase. What the IMF giveth, the IMF taketh away. And this is exactly the problem. What the government giveth, it can take away. So you have to take away. Can't get into something the government can take away. Why I moved and looked at the mining, when I saw the mining law, I said, this is a interesting, very interesting chasm that they'd have to cross if you start understanding that. Any land-based, patent-based thing can do this. Not many will understand that, and lots of people go down the wrong track. In other words, they fight instead of saying there's no authority to question and challenge. And so they fight and they lose because they go take it to the corrupt system. And yet that's the power. And so we're an ignorant people, if I can leave it that way. The reason the IMF gets poor is to create a debt trap. Look at your life. Look at where this Fed coin will be going. Look at what even fiat did. You thought that was free. It's not. We really have another thought to have in our brain. We're going to have to instigate our own separation, our own sovereignty back. And it's just what you do, not what you say and what you don't do, what your silence you keep. So in light of all this destruction that the world's seeing, we don't see it here. In light of trying to get the word out and the whistleblowers that are coming forward, or a prime minister who speaks too highly of himself to explain he was actually a lapdog to a nation that shouldn't have done what it did. What else did they agree to? That was a predecessor for the 911 thing, which shows you they were the planning was there in order to make it so, and we would agree with it. Why? Because they had people writing letters in order to support a candidate, right? support a position. They got a coalition of criminals together. And I don't see that any different than the Congress at this point. I don't care what party they are. Do you? And so why do we keep tolerating that? Why aren't we really actively working on parallels that we see everybody else in the world that is suffering this bullying does? And so the information output is important. Getting the information is important. And we see right after, I'm going to bring us back just a little quickly to the situation I talked about at length, an hour's worth, on this Pentagon plumbing, as I called it, in the Blogcaster, and the stop leak that was needed there. Right after that, John Kirby comes out and warns journalists not to report on the leaked Pentagon documents. This information has no business in the public domain. It has no business on the front pages of newspapers and televisions. So, again, a censorship, a threat coming out. But I noticed it didn't say behind the woodshed, so I'm going to talk about it. I probably talk about it anyway, but if he says just there, I guess I'm going to go ahead and abide by his will, and we'll talk about it behind the woodshed just a little bit more. Because what did come out, and I had a question, is how does this kid, well, that this kid could get this leaked, so-called leaked information, and it does come out in an article here, dark clouds roll in as things heat up, and the article written by someone named Simplicius, the thinker on Substack, and points out that the research said that he did in fact have a SCI clearance, which is a top secret sensitive compartmented information clearance, and this is beyond a simple top secret clearance. The point I want to point out here, we could go with that, but that doesn't confirm the information's accurate. There's also a lot of more questions that start to show up, but what we can take away is, because here's the problem. We don't know what documents were good or bad. The government itself said some were good, or some were good and some weren't. So we don't know what that was fed. Whatever the reason, we do now see it's like a whistleblower for us, the people who should know. And we now know we've been lied to again about Ukraine as well. And that shouldn't be okay. And again, taking worst case, take it just on its face, it's leaked accurate information. We're being lied to as the people again. So we already have that whistleblower to come and tell us we're in some real trouble as far as where the so-called leaders are driving this. And we know the history and the news, even if we just learned today, this week, what the notice was, this is a corrupt syndicate, not a government, not interested in peace at all. So I just want to touch base a little bit there. There's still an outstanding question. And my question stands here, as I wrote to Kim.com again. No, hard. I mean, one, two responses, nothing. In 850 people apparently looking at it. I asked the question to him and not get an answer. Is the info genuine or an operational plant for a known dupe? And this was going on for a long time before we were told, as more information is coming out, regardless of the underlying issue. As far as knowledge to the people who are supposedly paying the bill, we're looking at a government that's an organized criminal syndicate. And we're being lied to about that as well, as I pointed out, too. The government doesn't care that it's giving money to a Nazi-oriented group in Ukraine. The money of which, to overthrow the country, was actually appropriated in 2014 to do that, against which Russia had to respond. Let's not forget that connection. Pentagon leaks pretext to grant government new snooping powers was my whole point about this front that they put on it. It doesn't, in a way, it doesn't matter of truth or not that it was a lie, a setup. They were doing it to try and get through, and then they went through Discord as well. I question Discord. I've never been, you don't see me on it. I'm not a member of it. There's just so much about the internet I don't trust much anyway. Just from the terms of service, I don't have to read very far. But the point was they were going after, they want the future, they want more integration with your mind. So they can also tie it into their financing system, the servitude they're putting, the austerity they need to put you in, even the mind of thought. They need to be able to change your perception in 0.3 seconds by prejudicing your thoughts without maybe you knowing that. But the Washington is using the leak of classified Pentagon documents on Ukraine to excuse the further invade citizens' online privacy, says defender of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. So this is not just my idea, certainly. I just want to point out that this is the real, seemingly to us, the American, anybody really, because this, again, the dominance and the bullying will reflect out. You see, nations will accept being the poodle dog to Clinton, of all people. The guy who, I understand, allowed military documents for our most precious machines, two machines, our flying apparatus and submarines, to go to China to start their way in to build this contention and ability. But the point is, they're after your communication. They're after their way to get into your communication so that there's nothing secret at all, if there's anything secret at all. And so that was consistent with what my point essentially was last week, even though I tried to go through a bunch of iterations of what could go on. The focus for us would be on the communication lines that they're interfering with and this ability for them to continually cause a cognitive warfare for us. And as long as they can do that, we're going to be destabilized as a nation of people that need to respond. And it's not just that restrict act, as they call it. Biden administration considers increasing social media surveillance on after Pentagon leak. So this is now an executive action through agency to start to do what the restrict act would do. They didn't take any time to start doing this. No, they didn't look at how a Massachusetts intelligence officer, so-called, got any information. Now, I understand they should be primed, but at some point, you only have a need to know. And so I don't know what they're doing over there. Maybe they're sending drones out. I don't know. How did this kid even get around this information? Still, he's a reservist as well. It's kind of interesting as well that I guess a number of things, a number of continuing problems, even if you want to believe what they're saying. He doesn't know what he's getting either. But they used it immediately. So now I know by their deeds a bit. The Biden administration is considering using intelligence failure that allowed the classified Pentagon documents to circulate online unnoticed for weeks to call for broadening its surveillance of social media platforms. What I've been saying, the self-inflicted wound. Don't you think it's the handoff, the ability to make the handoff, they acquire that information at the interface that they should stop? That's on their end, not our end. But they use it, any crisis to exploit, right? I mean, this is just the ongoing thing. So to go back to last week a bit, expand it a little bit more, but show they are in fact moving in the direction I was concerned would be happening, notwithstanding all the noise that was out there to look at. And we need to be careful. I don't know if that's the only thing they're after. I mean, I'm talking about how this thing moves through, what the real targeting is. Multi-level, there's lots of people thinking about this. I'm sure they're a lot more intelligent than I am at some point to figure out everything they want. But you're watching at on the world stage, the multi-dimensional attacks. They'll even attack someone they have in the Arab League that they don't even have a membership in. And that reflects back, well, Ukraine wasn't supposed to be anything either. They're not in NATO. No, we're going to force it on you. And then we see leaders will, in the past, they'll agree, capitulate. There's some benefit coming to them. But we have an observation from the other side that this view, this perception of we have as a nation, as our intelligence community and all of its instrumentalities, the U.S. politicians held captive by their own propaganda coming from Moscow, the American establishment still buys into the dangerous delusion of a preventative nuclear strike, Russia security chief says. And this is, again, to foment the plausible reason to act. This is another fraud form of lie, another perception that they get us to agree. They need to get the people to shut up and be confident in that and trust that and be silent to the oppression that it's doing. They refocus this on the U.S. politicians, as I did. You're watching the aiding and abetting is no different than being held captive and not solving a problem. You're held captive by what your perception might be. As I've been showing endlessly and maybe dryly and maybe even boring to most people, how perception management on one thing is causing everyone to not look at the fundamental thing that should be looked on. And everybody focuses their time and energy and hooray and cheerleading on the thing that they ought not to be focused on, which will not help them in the future. U.S. politicians are held captive by their own propaganda. Again, it works. They're even... The propaganda management works on the politicians that supposedly represent you, and still believe that Washington could deliver a fatal nuclear first strike against Russia, the Secretary of Russian Security Council Nikolai Patrushev has said. And this is an interesting comment in this article, and we want to go back to in the history now to understand another dynamic that happened relative to Russia. We vilify it today, but in fact it was instrumental in helping the United States in the past. And remember, where we hear about 6 million dying, which may only be 1.5 million, 2 million, and not counting all the other millions that died at that same time underneath the horrendous situations of being in the concentration camps of any nature, all kinds of people for this. The Russians lost 26 million to stop these folks that we now support today. Remember, they'll appall the Credit Suisse accounts for Nazi-supported people, but the United States supports them now. Fascinating problem. Talk about disassociation, cognitive dissonance. But they say here, moreover, Moscow is, and this is the thing about breaking it in people. When their trust and confidence is broken, and then they think you a criminal, watch out. There's really nothing to, you're not going to get them back this way, and not very, I almost said it, Vince, not with any ease, because the lines of communication get dropped. Moreover, Moscow no longer believes it would be appropriate to help the United States once again defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity should it be threatened. Russia saved the United States at least twice, during the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, but I believe that this time helping the United States to maintain its integrity would be inappropriate. As he's reflecting on, well, how the politicians are acting, which represent you, which represent ultimately the government and what the people and the nations have to deal with. And reminding us that Russia was an integral part in how we exist today in the world that we have, notwithstanding its recent destruction by the hegemony of the United States and the dollar. And they're done with it. They're done, and they, again, our disregard of that, that's another form of insult, isn't it? Another form of insult. But it's hard, I don't know if you can get beyond it, actually, at some point. For the United States as a government, you have to literally see governments change over. In this case, almost the totality of the government, everyone working in it, needs to change over, and there needs to be evidence that that cancer inside is gone. And I stopped a little too short, because that cancer inside that's gone has to be careful, because there could be the cancer that no one realizes is a threat to Russia, which is the globalism thing relative to this digital control that's coming on. Russia agrees with that. China certainly. Remember, they're promoting sustainability, China is. Russia's on tap with that. This doesn't stop on that international level of overthrow relative to the United States and what its distinction, literally its distinction in the world. Not its bullying, but its land laws, its laws, it's the set of laws that work as a fundamental place, as I keep talking to you about, in the disposals and the obligation of the government to protect, not its ability to attack. It has none, actually. It does in the capacity where they set up the status that you're somebody's subject to the thing they made. And I won't get off on that. There's a whole discussion I could go off. U.S. military releases declassified video of fully armed Russian fighter jets intercepting American jets over Syria on two separate occasions. That title has been changed. A lot of news sites were saying that it was Russian jets were running off, American jets were running off Russian jets. Well, they finally figured out, I guess, they had it wrong. And this is what I was going to point out on the title was deceptive in this ongoing perception management. But there's, even with that title change, there's still something underneath this, because they talk to, in this, they explain something. Again, this is the United States imposing itself, and I want to remind us, we're supposed to be all excited that the Russians interdicted some United States aircraft over Syria. We see this in the story, in the report here. Both videos claim that these violated U.S. coalition-controlled airspace over Syria. The Russian Su-35 have not been deconflicted when it entered the airspace. This incident follows a pattern of dangerous actions by Russian pilots while interacting with the U.S. and coalition aircraft. And if you stop your mind right there that the United States is being threatened, they've got you. 0.3 seconds. Because the United States is not invited into a sovereign airspace. They do not have an airspace for United States control. That's a declaration of war. So maybe that's what we're seeing. But the Russians are invited there. The United States is not. So this little story, even though they changed the title, because it did say the Americans were interdicting. In fact, it was Russia who is helping to stop the incursion of the United States coalition-controlled aircraft. They do not have a territory there. There is no airspace that isn't a trespass. So, again, as we look at this condition, the military continues to try to create a place for themselves. And you might be persuaded, my listener, I doubt that you are, but the society might be persuaded if it's not you, but the Russians are not. The Syrians are not. Assad could care less anymore. He's been attacked and vilified by both Israel and the United States. He doesn't care. He's protecting his nation as best he can, whether I understand it, whether I would agree with it, whether or not. The atrocities that a government does to their people seems universal, so let's get beyond that. Don't forget, Syria embraces all religions. Israel doesn't. So who am I wanting to see here if I'm looking for peace? Do I want to have someone speak to me? It's a military and trespass over a nation? No. But they make the claim. Now, based in all this, and we see that they do have fighter aircraft, and they're not bashful to come up against who shut us down as far as a military air over a space that they really don't have. The Russians understand what's going on. They're not shirking a responsibility, and they're not afraid. And this was likely two craft that could take each other out, not like a Russian jet versus a fighter jet versus a drone, which may not have been so innocuous and helpless. But Russia, it's now stating here, has unique weapons that can destroy us, to destroy the U.S. again, destroy us, to destroy the U.S., Putin ally claims. And so we hear a little bit of story. Yes, this could be a little bit of propaganda too. But when you look at the deeds of going on, maybe not, because they have the hypersonic weapon. We don't. The United States doesn't. And we have just said we are not going to fund a hypersonic weapon. We can't do it. What an embarrassment for technology, it seems to me. Russia can. China can. And we're talking about fighting them. Oh, I don't know, folks. These people are really having some trouble in the leadership. They're really intoxicated on their own propaganda, just as Moscow says. You know, for as much as we want to vilify their opinion, you better regard it. An ally of the Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday boasted Moscow has weapons with the ability to destroy its enemies, including the United States. Nikolai Patrushev, the Secretary of Russia's Security Council, also said that Moscow is patient, but warned that it will respond in the event of a threat to its existence. I just need to keep focusing on that. This is where they've put it. And I don't know how you challenge that. For some reason, American politicians, believing their own propaganda, it doesn't say that. It says American politicians who are held captive by their own propaganda remain confident that in the event of a direct conflict with Russia, the United States is capable of launching a preventative missile strike, after which Russia will no longer be able to respond. This is short-sighted stupidity and very dangerous, Patrushev said. So, they're not backing down. I can figure out and look around, they do have a formidable response system. They probably have a formidable first strike system, although they're not set up for that. They're really in a defensive posture. The United States really does have that much they can bring to bear. But it's not going to end anything. If the United States thinks they can take territory with nuclear weapons, give it up. This is already the problem with just using depleted uranium bullets. You're going to poison a very valuable piece of land that we heard Zelensky is working with BlackRock CEO Fink, if that doesn't show some kind of clue, that they're going to develop this place. They can't poison the place. So the propaganda, the perception management going on, the politicians not listening, believing their own propaganda, is causing Russia to say, whoa, whoa, hold it. You better pay attention. Stop believing in your propaganda. Here, I've got another friend over here that says, no, I've seen some of what they can do. It's not going to be like you think. And I have to agree on what I've seen. It may not be. They don't have to defeat the United States. They just have to stop the United States. And that might mean your life, New York, remember? As they keep telling you, put your head now in your room. Forget about putting it in between your legs and kissing your tail goodbye. Just stick it in the room now and wait. Why? Why was that even popping out? Not that I would say that they do much. What I'm suggesting is that they're giving us heads up that it could go that way if there's an accident, as I talked about last week. And despite these problems, despite this vulnerabilities, potentially so, top U.S. military officer warns very difficult to fight great power war with China and Russia combined. But what are they doing? They're forcing the two together, so they will do that. And in some regards, I'm looking at the future saying that's a good thing because maybe we aren't going to see the ultimate problem that they are saber-rattling about. Our military, capability-wise, can fight in a lot of places with different types of contingencies, but if you're talking about a serious conflict with a major great power war, realistically putting both China and Russia together is a very, very difficult thing, Milley told a House Committee Armed Services hearing. So, they know. Very, very difficult. I don't know if it's way beyond that. And then very, very difficult looks like very long war. A lot of your sons and daughters are dying in this one. If it goes nuke because of the existential threat, because the United States could pound, cover Russia, probably just the inhabited places with nukes, watch out. We don't know what comes out of that. So they know that they have a problem. I'm hoping that means they're not actually going to do all the saber rattling, which means we should have never went down the bully trail and tried to thug on everybody as we went. This threat is sufficient. I guess even the Democrats are becoming afraid. Lawmakers push to limit U.S. President's nuclear authority. Democrats have warned that a rogue leader could someday take control of the Americans' atomic arsenal. So I don't need to know if I even need to read more than that. Even the Democrats are afraid of the power of the president to act unilaterally. So I want us to think about these kinds of things. When we had people that made this, they fomented this. They're now actually starting to, maybe their propaganda is not so hard or not so permanent that they see there's a reality out there. And we have one man trigger over the United States and making policies and being a bully, that maybe we better control this office, understanding that the Democrats probably are looking at a Republican. It doesn't matter, though. Again, these nuclear weapons, I haven't been able to rationalize that, yes, they are a deterrent because they can do the damage, but they're not a weapon to use, actually. And you see Russia trying to stop any action, even with the depleted uranium rounds, there. They realize that there's a problem, notwithstanding what UK, poodle dog UK will say in support of the United States to give Ukraine depleted uranium to say, oh no, Ukraine depleted uranium is safe. Even though we look in Iraq and see the evidence. No, this is the problem. We're watching evidence today that I think raises up, even if before we heard it, now because of these threats and the propensity of the United States to act on its own propaganda, believe its own story. This is becomes the problem for us. And I want to return down what is going on, what might have gone on. It comes back more and more. This is what the United States is also pushing for or not talking against. Zelensky makes no borders pledge to Poland. Ukrainian leader has hailed Warsaw's support of the ongoing conflict. And this was what I predicted was happening when we started to see the machinations relative to splitting Ukraine. It's been said by people walking in, Ukraine doesn't exist here in the next few years. How it doesn't exist is going to be interesting. Russia's not really advancing too much faster than it needs to when it's doing its mission. And I don't think it continues until they at least take Odessa, but it doesn't matter. The point is they're making a division in the state. I told you it was split that. Poland then popped up and said, we want our lands back, if you will, if that's what they want to say. Zelensky is on board, as I predicted. The intention of slicing and dicing Ukraine is underway if this moves on. Then we come and see another article, Poland and Ukraine should create union. The promotion, the propaganda coming forward in an article to give you all the reasons why that should happen. So the plan on Ukraine isn't even where it starts, what we're dumping these billions into, and what made the threat against Russia will not necessarily go away. And Russia is already telling Poland, you better watch out what you do here. And though Poland may end up joining Ukraine conflict. Now we see what the United States has already done. What was in the news that all of a sudden it's some big news with the plumbing problem over at Pentagon. No, that was all in the news before, as I told you. That was true. We had troops in there. I don't care that they're trainers. They're still in there, and they're actually a lot closer. They're the only ones that the United States and the Allies are the only ones that could run the new sophisticated equipment at any speed. So they have to be there. They may be just out of shooting range for the most part, but they're around. And so they're part and parcel. But Poland may end up joining was this concept that, yeah, they're going to come in and they're going to try and take over their part, their slice of the Ukraine. It's not at all what we're told. And it's not even a plan that should have been going on because Ukraine should have stayed the buffer state. We're hearing the truth and the Republicans are up with that. They don't limit. Wait a minute, we're not going to spend money in that regard to help Poland take over Ukraine. We're supposed to be defending that, right? I mean, it's a democracy and all, right? Warsaw will have no choice but to take part of the hostilities should Kiev fail to defend its independence. Speaking of someone else's independence, it doesn't have an independence, but that's what they're going to have, and they now bring it up to the quote of no choice, like it's an existential threat to have to act. Everybody puts everything on a national security footing. And that seems to be the paint that they can put on every, the color of the authority that they need. And no one's stepping up to say no. Well, except whom? Russia. Backed by whom? China. The very coalition, Milley said, would be very, very, not just very difficult, not just substantially difficult, but very, very difficult. Is that like, how many times do you multiply by 10 when you use varies in a row? This is a very serious, not very, very serious, just a very serious contemplation of what was predictable was going on. They're going to join this fight. It is NATO joining the fight to split this place up. And I don't know if it ends there, actually, when that happens. I don't know if Russia does go ahead and push it all the way up to the wall, take out Ukraine at all, but neither here nor there. The point is, we're in a perpetual war. That's telegraphed when they're not limiting the Congress. It's not, the United States is not limiting the budget, even though they're going to raise the limit, the budget limit. Where does that say? What is the limit? Why does it need to be raised if they're going to be doing budget cuts? Is not really suggested, other than we don't hear that they're limiting the military-industrial complex sales, which we just now heard there are some 400 anti-ship missiles going to Taiwan at the cost, or the profit to, what was it, Lockheed, I think it was, the $1.1 billion. But the Russians see the existential threat. They see it on their door. And we're going to move now into the other threat going on, the bio threat that Russian investigators have been doing. They find out all that information they found, all that leaked information that was from the bio labs that the United States didn't have, remember. The United States is paying for it. It's authorized money somehow. They're justifying it, and the American people are said to allow it. U.S. working on universal genetically engineered bioweapon, Russian parliamentary investigation is finding, and we can continue to wait, or we can listen to what's going on, and then look at right in what happened to the United States in COVID swindle. What happened there, folks, is what I think I see right here. Russia lawmakers have completed an investigation into Washington's military-related biological activities at laboratories across Ukraine on the basis of findings made public by Russia's radiation, chemical, and biological defense troops over the past year. Washington is working on a universal genetically engineered bioweapon designed to cause severe damage to enemies comparable to that of the nuclear winter, a Russian parliamentary commission investigation U.S. biolabs in Ukraine have concluded. Now, you need to read this story. You need to see what they're saying. And then I say that it's the carnival mirror we look at of what they're doing. The United States is doing over there to people. They're doing it here. Look at the Kobe swindle. This is in the works. This is in the plans. As we hear that, and we hear other things going on in Kiev, but we also hear that the United States is evacuating most Ukraine embassies and staff over invasion fears. No, there's no evidence of the invasion fear. This must mean something else is going to happen, and they're moving people out. Where they're not moving people out elsewhere, like in Sudan, and we actually lost more Americans in Sudan on that conflagration over there. They're telling people to get out of Kiev ahead of time, not after the fact. The United States is evacuating almost all the staff from its embassy in Kiev, as Western intelligence officials warn that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is increasingly imminent. well, it already happened. They're moving in slow motion. They're doing what they need to do. But this is the story. Remember, we just found out that the letter written by, signed by 50 intelligence community officers that helped to enforce the Biden election. And this one, they're moving them out ahead of time. They didn't do so good in Sudan. They didn't do so good in Afghanistan, did they? No. So we see the anomalies. And what I'm getting now focused on, they're moving people out after this Russian thing came out and said, hey, there's a biological event that may be happening. You know, we got to be careful of it. And it's as bad as a nuclear winter. This is no different than nuclear devices put on land. It just destroys it. You put this stuff, some of these biopathogens in the soil, they don't go away. You sterilize, if you will, for production. You sterilize it. People can't use it. Now, we heard a little bit of the stories. Look at the stuff, the so-called global warming, melting the tundra, finding bacteria that was ancient and it's coming back out. So what do? They go collect it up so they can gain a function, right? For whom? The Russians, probably. Anybody that the United States doesn't like some of you at Warp Speed. Waiting for a pandemic transhuman cult of biodefense, written by Technocracy News, a report here. The transhuman quest for genetic modification in order to change the human condition will end in total disaster. Hacking the human body is a myth perpetuated by academics like Yuval Noah Harari and Klaus Schwab with his fourth industrial revolution narrative. Globally, however, biodefense spending is in the trillions and shows no sign of restraint. This is the natural movement back over to the bioweapon problem, what I've been talking about for years and years now, since they gave it to us to talk about in Quovy Swindle, and they gave it to me, if no one else, to expose to y'all. This is an international globalist thing. They actually bring up again all of the WEF and WHO, but he ties it here right directly to these biolabs and these genetically enhanced biosystems. And they call them platforms, actually. We get on the platforms that they do. Universal genetically engineered bioweapon. Okay, so it's in the news, and it's all tied together again, all connected, as we would hear. What are they doing? Well, they're not being so sanitary. I want to get this story back up. The United States makes this stuff up. They're studying all over the world against other people. Russia sees it. They were able to go in. That's another benefit of invading. They needed to go in to be the whistleblower on this globally. So you now, my listener, know that the United States government is paying for this stuff, and yet it's tied to a global thing. The globalism is not going away. They need to do the sustainable thing. The austerity in the IMF is a part and parcel. This 8th 2030 we talk about, even though it's been printed in the United Nations documents, is a function of the United States government against its own people and other peoples globally. COVID-19 mRNA vaccines contain excessive quantities of bacterial DNA evidence and implications. I won't go through. I just want to give you you can go read it for yourself, a report. I think I've actually talked about this, but this is how they're moving it through. I want to remind us, as I saw this, reminded myself of this story. This is bacterial DNA. And this is what you noted. There's some technology that says they can take bacteria and modify it with other DNA to make byproducts. This is how you do synthesized chemistry as well. You take like E. coli, you stick it in an environment that's conducive to its growth and thriving, and it makes these byproducts. Well, your body is that environment. And these DNA, bacterial DNA contaminants, they call them, which may be actually there on purpose, are this process of these byproduct making, your body becomes the environment, like you become the vessel. Like if you're making wine, you get the alcohol. In this case, they're looking for biological offspring, contaminants, variants, or chemical byproducts that work in your body. The evidence of this is part, I thought, of how they're doing this transformation that we hear on the globalization side, that we hear from the WHO and WHO brokers and promoters, but actually funded by the United States government through its biowarfare monies, which we don't hear diminishing at all while they raise the debt ceiling. I still want to know if they're going to cut the budget. Why are they raising the debt ceiling unless it's going to go into this global war potential? And they're talking, and the United States is really talking about, they're talking about actually increasing their capacity in the war side. And so, again, this is part of that, don't forget, it's part of that economic cover-up. When we moved away from gold in the 30s, as I talked earlier, the war stopped the depression, actually, not the moving away. The moving away primed the pump for future economic failure of the people. Question, did national security imperatives compromise COVID-19 vaccine safety? I wanted to bring us back to the misperception management going on, the ability to take false impressions and impose a memory. The question is really wrong, isn't it? Did national security imperatives compromise COVID-19? That's coming from perspective that you think that the military should have been involved or the government was doing it for your in your favor. I'm here to dispel that. I've been here for 3 years to dispel that anything was done in our favor. You're expecting there should be vaccine safety. These were not vaccines, not as a matter of law, not as a matter of determination, not as a matter of prevention anywhere. You can't find that any of these could be compromising vaccine safety because they're not vaccines. This is written, perception management, as honest as this may be written, and I think you need to read it because he goes through the lineage of how this whole thing is about, under the idea that this was meant to be a vaccine, that you think the government was actually working to help us. We have to divorce ourselves again, break our trust and our confidence in this, understand this was never set up to be, it was never set up in the first place to be even an epidemic. It couldn't be a pandemic. It was presumptive emergency, never tested. This was never, never a medical emergency. There was never a vaccine. So to say that the national security imperative compromised, it was under the color of national security that they imposed it. And nobody challenged that, as I was saying, you're going to have to. So the question is malformed. The information is very good, but there's an expectation like the government was here to do something with this. No, it was to further the oppression and the destruction and the harm and the death. Don't know why. I can't qualify why. There's just some evil people in the world, apparently, and they all rose to the top at the same time, and we get to witness it if that's all we're going to do. Otherwise, we have something to defend against. Another question, and this is all from the Brownstone. I appreciate the Tucker guy in the Brownstone, but he still doesn't respond to me either. So I don't know where these people are. I don't know what they understand. I don't know what the hidden agenda they even have, what they're doing. They don't want to focus in on the bottom line of the fundamental truth that would really end this and show. We wouldn't have a misperception that we would think the government came to do us good when, in fact, we could tell coming out of the gate it was completely a harm at warp speed. Vaccine harms our biodefense plan's collateral damage. This title sounded like it was more consistent, like it agrees. When you go read through it, they're responding to Sasha Latapova's information, but they make a contention. They try to split here how her contention would be faulty. The writer says, I have a different opinion. Well, that's fine, and that's okay. But I want to point out there's an expectation in people doing their writing that the government does good and is always doing good. When this Kobe swindle was an absolute view as to how governments take down, in this case, the United States government, with the aid of other governments, take down people around the globe, take down systems to bring in the new future that is being promoted by all of them, notwithstanding Taiwan or Ukraine. Medical countermeasures with no regulatory oversight. As they're going through the analysis of Latapova, there was never to be any quality assurance. There were never vaccines. You're going to find out there was not what we were told anyway. So the fundamental protection was at your local law. Have them identify things like what they told us was coming. Here I got an article to remind us. 2016, SARS-like WIV-1-CoV, poised for human emergence. Priming the pump in 2016. What is this? This is the bat virus when you find out. They go through and talk about some very interesting little things here. And they say right here, if we knew this, or if I'd had this earlier and you knew it and someone listened, and you could get someone in the organization of the officials to say, to hear it. It says here that there are, at the time of this bat fire, even if you agree, if you don't go look and see the SARS-CoV-2, SARS-CoV-1 is patented, and it's really only the spike venom protein, the protein string that makes that spike, not the virus, because there is no the virus. It can't be natural by American patent law. It says in this report, or just the abstract here, that there was available SARS monoclonal antibodies offered a success in limiting viral infection absent from available vaccine approaches, is the prohibition against allowing the vaccines to be authorized by the CDC in 2016 because there was a remedy, a thought of monoclonal answer. What you'll find in this also discussion talking about the gathering of genomics data. You talk about later in another article, metagenomics data. They're talking about what they're doing in the databasing that they need. So we have an answer which would have eliminated the vaccines as the experimental authorizations to be available under law. Then you go along and you find out again, and you keep moving the United States executive order again. These were all done by, it was supposed to only attach to the government. People don't understand this limitation on the executive orders. But executive order on advancing biotechnology and biomanufacturing innovation for sustainable, safe, and secure American bioeconomy. Did you hear three times that they don't care about you, they care about the economy, the system, the technology that they're going to impose, the biomanufacturing, which you find out is contaminated. You find out it's not legitimate. They don't have to make it something if they can cover their bioweapons underneath a plausible condition you will not challenge. They said that this SARS was coming as a supposed human emergence. That's the term for you're going to be exploited by it in the future. You better get your armor up and protect yourself. But this new executive order coming out, it was done in September the 12th, 2022, has these very interesting references, like they're collecting genomic data. What is that about what Russia said? A universal genetic weapon here. This data, when you look at it, what they're collecting is the to promote the sustainable future. It means less. It's a world of less cancer, but the cancer is humans itself when you see the sustainable part. You see in this executive order, they talk about, they especially say that the word, I think it's equity, has a definition. When you go to that definition in the other act, and this is how they kind of confound things, you start to see what they're really talking about when you apply it. A lot of people may not see it this way. I'm just going to advance it. You see the underlying law they respond to under whom the word equity applies, how you apply the word equity. It does apply in the sense of law and equity in one sense, but not where they talk about what this bill is to, what the federal government is supposed to use this information for in promoting biotechnology and biomedical research and bioeconomy. In other words, how quickly and easily, efficiently they can use it and take you out. Advancing racial equity and support for undeserved communities through a federal government. And when you look at this, what the treatment of the underserved is, and that includes all the people with the minority religions, people of color, Latinos, Hispanics, rural folks, and all everything else that listed in that, you see that they're going to target this bioeconomy on these folks. What does that mean sustainably? It means they want to get rid of all the useless eaters, if you will, all the people that cause the cancer, that the carbon. They get rid of those people, like Bill Gates said, they get rid of their problem. They want you to stack them and pack them in the cities. They get rid of the rural folk. Why would they even talk about those folks? They get rid of their problems, societal problems. It's all the people of color, if you will, and all the other people. If you look at what they're saying in these bills, they're targeting through these bills in bioeconomy promotion to the federal government an attack on the people that aren't wanting to be, they don't want to see in the future. I hope something I said today enlightens you a bit to get you involved to protect yourself in the future. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's what... opening up a can of whoop-ass to you is like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.